This is the reading for July 18th, Proverbs chapter 7. My son, remember what I say and treasure my commands. Obey my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as you would your own eyes. Remind yourself of them. Write them on your heart as if on a tablet. Treat wisdom as a sister and make understanding your closest friend. Wisdom and understanding will keep you away from adultery, away from the unfaithful wife and her pleasing words. Once, while I was at the window of my house, I looked out through the shutters and I saw some foolish young men. I noticed one of them had no wisdom. He was walking down the street near the corner on the road leading to her house. It was the twilight of the evening. The darkness of the night was just beginning. Then the woman approached him, dressed like a prostitute, and planning to trick him. She was loud and stubborn and never stayed at home. She was always out in the streets or in the city squares, waiting around on the corners of the streets. She grabbed him and kissed him. Without shame, she said to him, "I made my fellowship offering and took some of the meat home. Today I have kept my special promises. So I have come out to meet you. I have been looking for you and I have found you. I have covered my bed with colored sheets from Egypt. I have made my bed smell sweet with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's make love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's love. My husband is not home. He has gone on a long trip. He took a lot of money with him and won't be home for weeks." By her clever words, she made him give in. By her pleasing words, she led him into doing wrong. All at once he followed her, like an ox led to the butcher, like a deer caught in a trap and shot through the liver with an arrow. Like a bird caught in a trap, he didn't know what he did would kill him. Now, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Don't let yourselves be tricked by such a woman. Don't go where she leads you. She has ruined many good men, and many have died because of her. Her house is on the road to death, the road that leads down to the grave. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiada, and she was from Jerusalem. Amaziah did what the Lord said was right, but he did not really want to obey him. As soon as Amaziah took strong control of the kingdom, he executed the officers who had murdered his father the king. But Amaziah did not put to death their children. He obeyed what was written in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded parents must not be put to death when their children do wrong, and children must not be put to death when their parents do wrong. Each must die for his own sins. Amaziah gathered the people of Judah together. He grouped all the people of Judah and Benjamin by families, and he put commanders over groups of 1,000 and over groups of 100. He counted the men who were 20 years old and older. In all, there were 300,000 soldiers ready to fight and skilled with spears and shields. Amaziah also hired 100,000 soldiers from Israel for about 7,500 pounds of silver. But a man of God came to Amaziah and said, "My king, don't let the army of Israel go with you. The Lord is not with Israel or the people from the tribe of Ephraim. You can make yourself strong for war, but God will defeat you. He has the power to help you or to defeat you." Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what about the 7,500 pounds of silver I paid to the Israelite army?" The man of God answered, "The Lord can give you much more than that." So Amaziah sent the Israelite army back home to Ephraim. They were very angry with the people of Judah and went home angry. Then Amaziah became very brave and led his army to the Valley of Salt in the country of Edom. There Amaziah's army killed 10,000 Edomites. The army of Judah also captured 10,000 and took them to the top of a cliff and threw them off so that they were split open. At the same time, the Israelite troops that Amaziah had not let fight in the war were robbing towns in Judah. From Samaria to Beth Horon, they killed 3,000 people and took many valuable things. When Amaziah came home after defeating the Edomites, he brought back the idols they worshipped and started to worship them himself. He bowed down to them and offered sacrifices to them. The Lord was very angry with Amaziah, so he sent a prophet to him who said, "Why have you asked their gods for help? They could not even save their own people from you." As the prophet spoke, Amaziah said to him, "We never gave you the job of advising the king. Stop, or you will be killed." The prophet stopped speaking, except to say, "I know that God has decided to destroy you because you have done this. You did not listen to my advice." Amaziah, king of Judah, talked with those who advised him. Then he sent a message to Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, who was the son of Jehu, king of Israel. Amaziah said to Jehoash, "Come, let's meet face to face." Then Jehoash, king of Israel, answered Amaziah, king of Judah, "A thorn bush in Lebanon sent a message to a cedar tree in Lebanon. It said, 'Let your daughter marry my son.' But then a wild animal from Lebanon came by, walking on and crushing the thorn bush. You say to yourself that you have defeated Edom, but you have become proud and you brag. But you stay at home. Don't ask for trouble, or you and Judah will be defeated." But Amaziah would not listen. God caused this to happen so that Jehoash would defeat Judah, because Judah asked for help from the gods of Edom. So Jehoash, king of Israel, went to attack. He and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other in battle at Beth Shemesh in Judah. Israel defeated Judah, and every man of Judah ran away to his home. At Beth Shemesh, Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah. Amaziah was the son of Joash, who was the son of Ahaziah. Then Jehoash brought him to Jerusalem. Jehoash broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, about 600 feet. He took all the gold and silver and all the utensils from the temple of God that Obed-Edom had taken care of. He also took the treasures from the palace and some hostages. Then he returned to Samaria. Amaziah, son of Joash, the king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, the king of Israel. The other things Amaziah did as king, from the beginning to the end, are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. When Amaziah stopped obeying the Lord, the people in Jerusalem made plans against him. So he ran away to the town of Lachish, but they sent men after him to Lachish and killed him. They brought his body back on horses, and he was buried with his ancestors in Jerusalem, the city of David. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Then all the people of Judah made Uzziah king in the place of his father Amaziah. Uzziah was 16 years old. He rebuilt the town of Elath and made it part of Judah again after Amaziah died. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he ruled 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah, and she was from Jerusalem. He did what the Lord said was right, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah obeyed God while Zechariah was alive, because he taught Uzziah how to respect and obey God. And as long as Uzziah obeyed the Lord, God gave him success. Uzziah fought a war against the Philistines. He tore down the walls around their towns of Gath, Jabna, and Ashdod, and built new towns near Ashdod and in other places among the Philistines. God helped Uzziah fight the Philistines, the Arabs living in Gerbaal, and the Meunites. Also, the Ammonites made the payments Uzziah demanded. He was very powerful, so his name became famous all the way to the border of Egypt. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, the valley gate, and where the wall turned, and he made them strong. He also built towers in the desert and dug many wells, because he had many cattle on the western hills and in the plains. He had people who worked his fields and vineyards in the fields and in the fertile lands, because he loved the land. Uzziah had an army of trained soldiers. They were counted and put in groups by Jeiel, the royal secretary, and Messiah, the officer. Hananiah, one of the king's commanders, was their leader. There were 2,600 leaders over the soldiers. They were in charge of an army of 307,500 men who fought with great power to help the king against the enemy. Uzziah gave his army shields, spears, helmets, armor, bows, and stones for their slings. In Jerusalem, Uzziah made devices that were invented by clever men. These devices on the towers and corners of the city walls were used to shoot arrows and large rocks. So Uzziah became famous in faraway places because he had much help until he became powerful. But when Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his ruin. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar for incense. Azariah, and 80 other brave priests who served the Lord followed Uzziah into the temple. They told him he was wrong and said to him, "You don't have the right to burn incense to the Lord. Only the priests, Aaron's descendants, should burn the incense because they have been made holy. Leave this holy place. You have been unfaithful, and the Lord God will not honor you for this." Uzziah was standing beside the altar for incense in the temple of the Lord, and in his hand was a pan for burning incense. He was very angry with the priests. As he was standing in front of the priests, a skin disease broke out on his forehead. Azariah, the leading priest, and all the other priests looked at him and saw the skin disease on his forehead, so they hurried him out of the temple. Uzziah also rushed out because the Lord was punishing him. So King Uzziah had the skin disease until the day he died. He had to live in a separate house and could not enter the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham was put in charge of the palace, and he governed the people of the land. The other things Uzziah did as king from beginning to end were written down by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. Uzziah died and was buried near his ancestors in a graveyard that belonged to the kings. This was because people said he had a skin disease, and his son Jotham became king in his place.
Chapter 5.
Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Therefore, be firm in this freedom and don't become slaves again. I, Paul, can guarantee that if you allow yourselves to be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Again, I insist that everyone who allows himself to be circumcised must realize that he obligates himself to do everything Moses' teachings demand. Those of you who try to earn God's approval by obeying his laws have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen out of God's favor. However, in our spiritual nature, faith causes us to wait eagerly for the confidence that comes with God's approval. As far as our relationship to Christ Jesus is concerned, it doesn't matter whether we are circumcised or not. What matters is a faith that expresses itself through love. You were doing so well. Who stopped you from being influenced by the truth? The arguments of the person who is influencing you do not come from the one who is calling you. A little yeast spreads through the whole batch of dough. The Lord gives me confidence that you will not disagree with this. However, the one who is confusing you will suffer God's judgment regardless of who he is. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching that circumcision is necessary, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the cross wouldn't be offensive anymore. I wish those troublemakers would castrate themselves. You were indeed called to be free, brothers and sisters. Don't turn this freedom into an excuse for your corrupt nature to express itself. Rather, serve each other through love. All of Moses' teachings are summarized in a single statement: love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you criticize and attack each other, be careful that you don't destroy each other. Let me explain further. Live your life as your spiritual nature directs you. Then you'll never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. What your corrupt nature wants is contrary to what your spiritual nature wants. And what your spiritual nature wants is contrary to what your corrupt nature wants. They're opposed to each other. As a result, you don't always do what you intend to do. If your spiritual nature is your guide, you are not subject to Moses' laws. Now, the effects of the corrupt nature are obvious. Illicit sex, perversion, promiscuity, idolatry, drug use, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, angry outbursts, selfish ambition, conflict, factions, envy, drunkenness, wild partying, and things like that. I've told you in the past, and I'm telling you again, that people who do things like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the spiritual nature produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are no laws against things like that. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their corrupt nature along with its passions and desires. If we live by our spiritual nature, then our lives need to conform to our spiritual nature. We can't allow ourselves to act arrogantly and to provoke or envy each other.